Well, howdy, everybody, and welcome to Red Sea Radio Roundup. We are so grateful that you're here today, and let me tell you what, we are in for a huge blessing today because with us, we have an individual who has over 731,000 followers on TikTok, over 23,000 on Instagram. He is the creator of Life Starts Here Ministries. He is also a part of the Hallow app prayers this Lent, and even Mark Wahlberg himself has liked his post. But forget all of that, because that is nothing compared to what this unbelievable individual does. He has given his life to Jesus Christ. He is a priest in the Diocese of Phoenix. He has a truly inspirational story. So thank you for being with us, Father Frankie Cicero.
That was an introduction. I received that. Thank you. And may God be praised. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to be with you, honestly.
Well, thank you so much. We're very excited because you are, let's face it, you are up there on the top 10 priests on social media. I have to admit. You are, at least on my list. I mean, this is
I receive that. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's something to get used to, you know, because obviously that was definitely not the reason for it. You know, I mean, I just felt COVID hits and I hear in prayer, Lord's like, my people are hungry. What are you going to do about it? And so it was like,
there you go.
It literally was like, it literally was this. Like, my people are hungry. I need you to go where they're at. I need you to evangelize. Wow. I need you to speak my word. And I mean, even before that ever happened, I actually told the Lord that I just didn't want to do anything with social media, with video. Like, I didn't even have an account. So I legit had to ask my friends, how do you make videos? How do you even post a video on social media? Like, I just didn't have anything. And and I was pretty like, I don't want to do this, Lord. And he was like, no, my people
are
hungry.
You're going to do it.
What are you going to do about it?
You literally heard that in your soul. Those were the words.
Yeah.
My people are
hungry. Yeah, like in my heart.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, because I was, it was basically during like everything was shut down. And I mean, I'm sitting in my prayer chair where I will sit in prayer every single day. And I was just like talking to the Lord. And my heart was heavy because I was like, I can't do anything. And and I mean, my heart longs, I just want every single person to know Jesus. And so my heart was super heavy, but, I was really challenged by the Lord because I had those conversations before with him about like, I don't want to do video. I don't want to like, kind of just be, I didn't want to have the exposure. I didn't want to kind of be out there. I just really was like, I just want to be a simple parish priest that kind of like no one knows. And I could just love on my people. Like that was it. Yeah. I just wanted to like be just faithful. And I wanted to love with all my heart. Those that God puts in front of me. And, but when this happened, you know, he challenged my no, he challenged my comfort level of how I thought, how I wanted the priesthood that he gave me to look, how evangelization looked where I was at. And I literally heard like, my people are hungry. What are you going to do about it? And in that moment, I knew, like, all right, you basically want me to get and start making videos. So that's how literally how it started.
Well, amen to that, to your yes. Through the no, you got to yes, because you do really have such a beautiful, just meaty, important, Holy Spirit inspired content that is very much needed. So thank you for that, because it truly is a joy to hear your messages and to feel your joy for the Lord through these videos. So again, hallelujah, and praise the Lord that you got to do what you're doing. But let's backtrack, shall we, a little bit? Because like I said, for those of you that have followed your story, of course, we all know and we are so moved by how you got here, how you are where you are here today. But for those few individuals that might not know, first of all, let me tell you what I got when I heard your story, which I'll let you tell. But I want to say this first to intro it. God knew that Joseph would be the perfect father for Jesus here on earth, just as God knew the type of father that you needed to be here today. So praise be to Saint Joseph And praise be to your Father. And of course, praise be to your and ours and all of ours, Jesus Christ. But with that tiny introduction then about fathers, how was your father kind of a that mover that got you to be where you are today?
It's a great question.
I know
question.
That's a long question, so you take it wherever you want.
I first just am moved by the truth in that God the Father chose my dad to be the perfect father that I would have needed. Now, my dad wasn't the perfect father. Anyone that knows my story knows that my dad was actually like, it was a really difficult relationship with my dad. I mean, like, there was just utter trauma. There was utter devastation. Right. I mean, on a scale which I'll get into, I mean, yeah, like, my dad was nowhere near a great dad in those elements, but yet that's so beautiful to recognize the truth, but yet it still was the father that that, like, God the Father chose, and that, like, he knew the weaknesses, he knew the elements, he knew the things that were going to be happening, and he was like, yes, this is a unique way in which my son, me, needed to experience this for the sake of what he has planned for me. And so I just, like, want to acknowledge that, which is just so beautiful, because that cannot be acknowledged enough. Even the brokenness of our own human dad, like, God the Father desires to utilize for our ability to enter into his goodness and love. So my dad basically was 100% Sicilian. God tears and emotions were so difficult for my dad. And so from a very young age, I was born with a 2% chance of living, and I had a ton of medical situation and a lot of surgeries. And so, but from a very, very young age, in the midst of all my suffering and difficulty, I just loved the Lord. Like, I had this just crazy desire for Jesus, and I wanted to give my entire life to the Lord. And that was hard for my dad, right? Because tears, emotions, and the Lord were just totally my jam, and it was not for my dad. And so it just created tension, you know, it created a lot of tension for my dad. And the hard part about that was my dad really began to kind of walk away from his own faith. And as he began walking away from his faith and kind of desiring things more of the world, it created a greater strain, not on just me, but on my family. Greater strain of being on, like, my relationship. And I think every single son wants the love of their dad. Every single son desires to experience their dad's acceptance and love for them. And that was something I was constantly striving for. I had tension in my heart with my dad, a tension of I want my dad's approval and love. And at the same time, I want to live for the Lord. And unfortunately, at the time, it didn't seem like it was possible that both of those things could coexist. Sure. And I remember 18 years old, my dad pulls my mom, my sister, and I aside. And my dad basically, like, looks at us and he just says, I don't want you anymore. I'm like, you're not the family that I wanted. And I'm leaving.
Wow.
And right before he leaves, he literally pulls me aside and he says, you are not the son that I wanted. You are not good enough to be my son. And he leaves, you know. And so
devastating.
Here I am. Oh my gosh, it was like horrible. And I mean, we come to find out at the same time as well that, like, my dad that, like, my father basically has been addicted to drugs for this long period of time. He has been cheating on my mom, kind of had, like, almost his mistress on the side, and all these things kind of come out in the midst of all of this. And like, in this one moment, I go from kind of having this stable family to everything just ripped apart, you know? And like, it was just devastating. And I was angry.
Yes.
I mean, I couldn't understand, you know? I mean, here I was, this kid who just wanted to live this life for the Lord Jesus. And I mean, I was no drugs, no alcohol, no promiscuity, wanted to save myself for marriage. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden here's my dad just ripping my family apart. And so I wasn't as angry at my dad. I was, like, angry at the Lord, you know? And so I couldn't understand. I just couldn't understand why the Lord would ever allow something like this to happen. And, you know, and unfortunately, yeah, like that's the, it was interesting. The response that like my dad leaves my family, and then my response was to leave the Lord. Right. Oh. Which was just like, I look back at it and I'm like, it doesn't make any sense, but I couldn't understand. And right. I blamed God. I literally blamed God. I should have blamed my dad, but I blamed the wrong person. I blamed God. I didn't think I could trust God anymore. I didn't think that my life would be able to, like I gave him my life and this is what he allowed. So he's like, I'm done. So I literally told the Lord, I'm done with you. I'm done. I want nothing to do with you.
Yep.
And I left.
I mean, so many people do that though. You know, I know you've already gone through that and forgiven yourself and, you know, hopefully forgiven your father and everything. But we, that happens to so many of us that we turn away from the Lord because we don't get it, that we don't understand it. So did you come to the forgiveness of your father then, Father Frankie? How did that happen? Like, did you ever see him again, or what happened? Cause that was kind of what was left for me wondering, you know, after I've heard your story. How did that all come about? Did he ever know you're a priest? What happened with that? If you're willing to share, of course.
So it's really so interesting. A lot of this is actually a part of the story that I don't really get to share a lot of, which I think is great, and I'm loving the ability to share this. Yeah. So, I didn't talk to my dad. I didn't see my dad for over 5 years. And so when I left the Lord, I jumped into as much drugs, alcohol, promiscuity. I became a bartender at a rock and roll Western Mechanical Bull Bar, right? So I was living a life of the world. I was like, my heart was devastated and broken. I needed like some form of comfort. And so I medicated myself, right? Because I was like, okay, sure. I didn't think I could find it in the Lord. So I got to find it now in the world. And 5 years goes by, right? No contact, no nothing. I have no idea what's going on with my dad. And I remember... I had this moment, I talked to my mom and I was like, Mom, I missed dad. Like, I remember I just like missed my dad. I had no idea what was going on with him. I just missed him.
And how old were you? Sorry, Father Frankie, how old were you? 18? No.
So I was 18 when it happened. So I was probably around 22, 23 at this time. Yeah. Okay. And, I remember, I just had that move. I just missed my dad. I just missed like just him, period. You know, like I think, regardless of what my dad did, he was still my dad, right? And so,
of course.
And I remember I said that to my mom, and then a week later, I get a phone call, and my mom lets me know that she found out that my dad is in the hospital dying of stage 4 cancer. He has a 5% chance to live. And I remember I told my mom, I was like, I gotta go see him. And my mom was like, wait, what? I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go see dad, but I want no one there. It's just me. And so I went, it was 11 o'clock. And it was around in November, around 11 o'clock at night, I walked into the hospital room. And so you have to remember the last time I spoke to my dad, like, I mean, it was this devastation. There was pain. Right. I don't want you anymore. So here I am. And I remember I walked in and it's 11 o'clock at night. My dad's sleeping. I see this once 200 pound man whittled away to like 110, 115 pounds. Really? And I didn't even recognize him.
Oh.
And again, my dad was super machismo. So like, he never really cried.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have a ton of emotion in regards of like loving emotion in that way. Yeah, he totally hit it. And so here I am. And I remember I shook my dad and he awoke and he saw me and I saw him and he just started bawling, like just bawling. And then I just started crying. And I remember in that moment, we just kind of stayed up for like an hour and just, he told me kind of what happened. You know, he kind of told me about how the drugs came into his life and what happened after he left. And I was able to kind of share what was going on in my life. And, and we had the beginning stages of like a reconciliation, you know what I mean? And I remember my mom and sister came the next day and the doctor was basically, listen, your dad has a 5% chance to live. We're going to give him the most amount of chemo and radiation that a human person can ever have in their life. But he's probably going to die in a couple months. And so my mom and sister and I decided like, we didn't want our dad to die. We didn't want him to die, like die alone, you know, even though he like literally rejected us. We didn't want to reject him in this moment. We wanted to be able to be with him, to walk with him, to take care of him. And so yes, we came alongside of him and we spent Thanksgiving in the hospital. And then my dad gets on hospice. And this is where it gets even crazier because you have to remember, I'm still like, I'm away from the Lord. right?
Yeah.
And my mom, she's like, you know, she never lost her faith. Oh my goodness. My mom never lost her faith. My sister lost for a little bit, but she like totally came back. And here I am. I'm still living in the world. And my mom takes my dad in. And she's taking him to every radiation, every chemo. She's literally picking my dad up, put him in wheelchairs. Wow. And I'll never forget, I came over one day to see my mom. And I saw my mom cleaning up my dad's puke. Because he's like, I mean, everywhere. No. And I was livid. Goodness. Like, I'm so livid. And I remember I like yelled at my mom. And and I was like, how can you do this? Like, here's a man who has like literally devastated and hurt us in the most difficult way and thrown us in this hole. And here you are cleaning up his puke. Like, how could you? And I'll like never forget. I'll never forget first the gaze of my mom. Like just the gentle, loving gaze of my mom as she looked at me. And then I'll never forget the words she said. She looked at me and she said, Frankie, it's not just your father whom I love. It's Jesus in your father whom I love. And I like, I lost it, right? But like, I didn't like lose it of like, oh my gosh, I have to give my life to the Lord. I lost it because I was like, I can't handle this. Like, I can't deal with the fact that my dad is literally right here in front of me. Because you have to realize, I never dealt with any of this. Like, I'm literally now, like, I lived as if my dad was dead. I'm now like here. And I'm watching like my dad actually kind of die. And then my mom's cleaning up his puke, right? So I'm like, I can't deal with this. So I ran into more of a lifestyle of the world, right? I mean, if I was on a level, like let's say 7 or 8 of the world, I went to like, a, I don't know, 12, 15. I went to higher level. I went higher.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't deal with it, you know?
Sure.
And yeah, so I mean, there's, and yeah, and I mean.
That's amazing.
If anything, yeah, I mean, if anything, and it got kind of crazier because my dad actually lived. So my dad, like no joke. Yeah. So my dad literally miraculously was healed of stage 4 cancer.
No way.
Right. So here, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, you there, this is like nuts what the Lord has done, but you have to understand, like I was now, I lived as if my dad was dead. I'm now preparing for my dad to die. And now he lives.
Yeah, he lives.
And not just lives. He has a massive conversion. Like I'm talking massive. No. Like it's not like my dad literally. So he has his massive conversion.
Wow.
He's like praying the rosary every single day. He's watching EWTN, right? So he's watching like Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. He's watching Father Crappie on EWTN.
No.
And he's like every single day, you know, and it's like, and you get to understand that.
Oh.
Here I am. And I was angry because I'm like, now you love Jesus. Like, seriously, now you love Jesus.
Yes.
My whole life, I wanted to love Jesus, and I wanted to have this ability to have relationship with you and the Lord together. And now that I don't want anything to do with the Lord, you want to have everything to do with the Lord. And so it was just so hard because I'm literally watching my dad. He's alive. He's getting better. He's going back to the faith. He went to confession. He's praying the rosary.
No.
He's like watching EBTN every day.
Oh, my.
My mom. I'm like, and like my mom and my sister, they're all back in the Lord.
Amazing.
I'm just like, I can't handle any of this. Like,
no.
So yeah, it was, I was the last one in my family besides my mom, like to come back to the faith. Like my conversion was last. Like,
it's a little ironic, but yeah.
Yeah. It was, but I mean, that's like the, that's like what
that's
set up my conversion.
Powerful.
That's literally what the Lord did to set it up was that. So yeah.
Yes. See, I knew
sorry.
There was something there. Thank you so much for sharing that because
there's more.
I knew it. I'm sure. Are you writing a book, Father Frankie? Because you need to write a book.
You're not the first. I don't know. You know what? I
can imagine I'm not the first one because your story does warrant it. Yes. Well, of course, if you feel called to do that.
No, I mean, like,
but what
feel
a
like,
story.
I don't know. I mean, I feel the Lord has put it on my heart a while. I just don't know. I mean, we'll see what the Lord has. I mean, what he wants to do. You know, I don't know if the Lord wants to put it on video form. So I'll be honest with you. I've actually never, ever told the entire story.
I bet.
Like even when I was, you were talking about Hallow, even on Hallow, like I told certain parts of the story that I've never told anyone more publicly, right? Besides some of my family that knows, you know? And there's a portion on there on the actual surrender story that I gave that I talked about as I was preparing, as my dad was preparing actually like to die. So my dad did die. He died 5 years later, but it's a whole crazy story that happened with that. But I never shared that story, right? Because you were talking about reconciliation. Reconciliation happened with my dad 5 years after my dad came back into my life and he lived. The full reconciliation with my dad. And so
that's powerful.
But yeah, so like, I don't know. I mean, I would love to. So I kind of am recognizing that the Lord is beginning to open up particular just movements in my heart to say, will you share everything, you know?
And it's scary, or is it not scary for you, Father? Because I know for me as a human being, more, you know, not into the priesthood, of course, but as a mom, like I've shared that here on Red Sea Radio as well, that sometimes it's scary for me to share myself or be vulnerable and be super open, whether it's here on Red Sea Radio or, you know, I work at St. Joseph Catholic School. That's my full-time job.
Yeah.
And it's scary to reveal your entire self. And my story doesn't even pale in comparison to yours. But is it scary for you as well? And how do you overcome that fear?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is scary, for sure. Because anytime you're vulnerable, right, you're really opening yourself up to be wounded. Right? Yes. I mean, that's actually what vulnerability really means. It really means able to be wounded. So I recognize that when I share my heart, when I open up my heart, I'm literally giving somebody the ability to hurt me and to wound me. And so there is an element of fear there, right? There's an element of, I could share my heart and people just like totally trash on it, right? But at the same time, there also is this element where for many years I just felt the Lord being like, this is our story, like my son, this is our story, and I want our story, I want what I have done in your life, I want even all the pain, all the difficulty, your own sinfulness, the ways in which you are unfaithful, the ways in which you still struggle, right? And yet I move in all these areas of your life. I want people to know. I want people to know that I'm in the details, that there isn't one moment in your life that I have not ordained for my honor and for my glory, even the brokenness, even the difficulty, right? And so I feel so moved continually by the Lord of being like, will you not hold back? You know, will you, will you give everything, not just for me, but will you reveal for my people? You know, so there is an element of like it's vulnerable, it's scary, you know, particularly as like like more platforms or things, you know, like more people see it, it's a scary thing, it's real. And at the same time, I feel very moved by the Lord, that the Lord's like, but I want you to, you know, like don't underestimate, my son, what I have done in your life, and what I have done, I desire to be shared for others to experience my goodness and love. So it's a both and in that way.
Well, amen. He definitely knows the plans that he has for you, Father. And thank you for your continued yeses. You know, one of my favorite things about being a Catholic is confession. It's the power of going to confession. And the more I do it, you know, it's still scary, especially with those big sins that we might go to you fathers, priests with, you know, but as I tell my children, you know, it is a gift. It is a gift of grace. It is just so beautiful that we get to do that. And sometimes people outside of the faith don't see it that way.
Sure.
Or people might say, you know, well, you know, I just go to confess my sins on my own, you know, with the Lord. And that's great. But what would you say to that aspect? And because as we are taping this today, we're in the Lenten season. So why is confession so important in our faith, in our Catholic faith?
Because the basis of salvation is forgiveness. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven, right? That doesn't mean that there aren't good people in heaven, but everyone in heaven has been forgiven, right? Everyone has been forgiven by the grace and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we call him Savior, right? Because he saves us from our sins, right? The consequence, right? The wages of sin is death. A lot of times people, you know, think sometimes that like, you know, I have to believe in God or I die. Right. No. I'm already going to die.
Yes.
Like that's like my natural movement outside of God is death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And God in his goodness, who loves us so much, who doesn't want us to die, who never even wanted the consequence of sin. But that was what happened. We chose to disobey. that consequence of death enters into the midst of our life. And God could have been like, I don't want you anymore, right? Like, that's what the Lord could have said. I don't want you.
Yes.
And he's like, I love you so much that I'm going to send my own son to die on your behalf. So that what? So that you could have the ability to be forgiven of your sin and now given life instead of death, right? So forgiveness is the basis of salvation, right? And here's the thing. When we're understanding confession, first and foremost, it was what Jesus wanted. Jesus said so. You know what I mean? Sometimes people are like, why do you believe that? I'm like, because Jesus said so. This is what Jesus has actually said. This is what Jesus has wanted, right?
Yes.
And we have to understand too. So one of the elements in regards to confession, because people will say, they'll be like, well, I just want to confess my sin to Jesus.
Yeah.
That makes sense if all sin is the same.
Oh, okay.
But
I like that.
But according to John, the apostle, the beloved, who was at literally the cross, in 1 John chapter 5, in regards to, I believe it's around verse 15 through like 18, you know, John basically speaks about the fact that you have sin that is deadly and you have sin that is non-deadly, right? He says that all sin is wrongdoing, but not all sin is deadly, right? So he begins to actually make a distinction in Scripture, right? So in Scripture itself, he makes a particular distinction of recognizing that not all sin is the same. It's all wrong. It ain't good, but it's not the same.
Sure.
And so, and this is where, within the gifts of our Catholic faith, we actually have these particular terms, mortal, and then we have venial, right? Where we have deadly sin and we have non-deadly sin. And this is the reason why confession, the sacrament, was actually established by Jesus, was for deadly sin. Okay. So I'm going to give a little analogy. I hope this helps. So, if you're running and you, like, you know, maybe tweak your hamstring, right? You pull it a little bit, sore, you know? You give it some time, you rest, maybe some ice, a little bit of heat once it gets a little better, and it just kind of begins to get better. It's totally okay. You can kind of take care of that yourself, right?
Sure.
Now, if I tear my hamstring from the bone, like, I mean, it's gone. It's now like curled up, you know, it's gone, the bone. I'm not just sitting this one out, give it a couple of times, it's going to be fine. No, I need to go to an actual surgeon who's going to open me up, take my hamstring and reattach it to the actual bone, because this is not going to happen outside of that, right? So so too in the reality of sin, right? We have venial sin, which is, it's not good, it's not wrong, but it's not a particular grave sin to the intensity that it begins to sever our relationship with Jesus. Right. My relationship with Jesus is still intact. Right. So I have the ability in I have the ability in Jesus to ask for forgiveness and I'll receive it. I mean, that's what happens at Mass every time. Like when we one, confess our sins in the beginning of like within the like when we ask our Lord, like I confess Almighty God to you, my brothers and sisters, like in that moment, if there's venial sin, it gets forgiven. At the moment of reception of Jesus in the Eucharist, if there's just venial sin upon my soul, well, it gets forgiven. Why? Because the relationship is still there. But when you're dealing with mortal, when I say mortal, there are three things that we would understand it to be, right? It's super grave, bad.
Yeah.
We know it's bad and we do it anyway. We're like, I don't care, right? Like, I know it's bad and I'm going to do it anyway. Basically, Lord, I don't want a relationship with you. So I'm going to choose by my free will to sever this relationship. When that happens, right, when there is this element of, when there's this element of, like we freely choose to sever our relationship through mortal sin with the Lord Jesus, now is the moment of where I need confession. Well, I need to go to the Lord through the minister that he has chosen, right? As God had said within John 20, as he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them after, you know, right after he rose. And he says, who received the Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained, right? There's this element that now we're going to Jesus Christ through the minister that he has chosen. And Jesus, through the power of confession, goes into my soul and he reattaches the relationship that I've willfully chosen to sever, right? It's, and this isn't why, because God doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to have the inability to be able to experience his love and his mercy and his goodness. And so he established, one, the ability, if we just choose to gravely sin and do it anyway, he gives us the grace of his mercy and his love through the sacrament of confession, right? That is one of the gifts of, one of the reasons why he established it, right? So I don't know if that, that made sense, but I hope that's helpful to you.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I the words that you said, you know, good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people go to heaven.
Yes.
That's fantastic. A great way to put it that I had not thought about in those words. Yes. So thank you for that. This reminds me of one of my favorite videos that I've seen of you that, again, you make things so easy to understand, is the one that you have, in fact, the water that says Jesus, sin, and you.
Yeah.
And then you pour, you know, the Jesus into the sin and Jesus into you and sin into you. So how do you come up with your content? Because it's brilliant, Father. Again, thank you for what you do.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So then how do you come up with your content, Father?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it's a combination of prayer. It's also a combination of looking at what other people have done, right? So one of the things that you notice on my content is I kind of take what there's a trend, and I basically take the trend and I try to basically elevate it to an extent in the Christian life. Of for instance, one of the videos that I did was how to make the sign of the cross. Well, that music trend was actually a trend on how do you do particular dance moves. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take the audio and I'm going to make it kind of a fun way to make the sign of the cross, right? So, or I've seen people do particular videos and particular music with videos. And I'm like, well, people don't recognize some of these lyrics are actually based in scripture. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the actual song and then I'm going to show that this lyric is based in this particular scripture passage, you know? And then some just kind of comes through, I might be in prayer, kind of get inspired by the Lord. Like some of the ones I did where I kind of gave a little devotional, you know? Actually, that one was great.
20-second devotionals.
Yeah, like 20-second devotionals, you know?
Yes.
But that one was actually really funny because there is a creator that he did 30-second devotionals. And I saw that one too. And I was like, I'll do 20-second. And it wasn't like competition. It was just more like people.
Yeah, it's inspiration.
So some of it just comes from the Lord, comes from the Lord, or I might just look and see and then kind of bring into prayer what works, what doesn't work. And honestly, there's a ton of videos I've made that just don't work. You know what I mean? Just don't, you know?
You got to through those bad ones to get the brilliant ones.
Well, I mean, honestly, when it comes to social media, you could literally spend hours and hours on a video and nothing, it doesn't do anything. Then you could spend 30 seconds. Horrible lighting at 1 a.m. So I mean that literally was a story with the sign of the cross video. I couldn't go to sleep. I had this idea. It was 1 a.m. I got up, horrible lighting, and I just did it. And the next thing I know, it's 5 million views. And I'm like,
that was unreal.
Are you serious?
See, sometimes it's just you don't have. I love social media, and I try. Father, you would be proud, and I want you to go follow me. Everybody, right now, go follow me. No, I'm just kidding. Follow Father Frankie Cicero first. Follow Red Sea Radio first. There you go. Red Sea Radio.
That's right.
Follow us on social media. Then check out Father Frankie Cicero. Then check out Maria Sotolongo TV. Okay.
There you go.
So, Father, I used to be in TV a long time ago. But so that's also been my prayer is, Father, Lord, guide me to what I can do with my social media so that it can be for your glory. Okay.
Amen.
And so recently it was when I turned 50 that I started feeling this. And actually Red Sea Radio has helped me to have the confidence in through conversations like this to do it and to feel comfortable doing it and feel good about talking about the Lord on social media. And so I love it that then your feed can actually be changed. To me, that was so symbolic of now I only see Catholic and God-filled messages on my feed, right?
Absolutely.
And it's so empowering. And that's what I'm also trying to tell, again, my kids and the younger generations, right? That if there's something out there, like you say, that's a trend or that's popular, how do you shift it so that it does become something to glorify the Lord? So
absolutely.
I've been doing something, and I'm going to use this clip from my video, if that's okay with Red Sea Radio and with you, Father. But this is the question that I ask everybody on my social media. Are you ready? And then answer it if you feel called to do so. I know you're going to think this is so, really? That's the question you're asking, Maria? This is what I'm asking. Are you ready?
Yes.
So I go up to strangers and or some of my family members, and I tape them, of course, and I say, how do you know that God exists? So how would you answer that?
he saved my life.
Mm.
When I had a personal encounter with God himself at a bar at 1 a.m. with 3,000 people around it as I was bartending. Oh. And I, as I'm bartending, I physically get pushed back. Like, I'm talking pushed in the bar. And I literally had to stop making drinks. And as I lifted up my head, everything goes slow. I'm talking like people grabbing their drinks slowly. The bull, super slow. Upstairs bar, patio bar, packed. And in this moment, I literally have this experience of where I was like, I have everything that the world brings happiness. Everything. And I had more money, drugs, alcohol. And I remember I said to myself, I'm more broken, I'm more lonely, and I flat out hate who I am. And in that moment, it was this like, it was the first time I actually prayed, right, in 6 years. This is where my faith got like real. And where it was like, I was at rock bottom. I couldn't love myself. I hated who I was. I literally was in the middle at 1 a.m. in the darkness of a bar. And I have this encounter with the Lord. And he comes right there into my brokenness. And I remember as I turned to the Lord and I just said, I'm worse off without you than I ever was with you. Like, what do you want with my life? And it was in this moment that I experienced an utter love and peace. Like, I can only describe it as the fact that the presence of God came upon me and within me. And I knew of God's love in that moment, which gave me the courage to actually leave the bar and begin to try to live my faith again. Right. So God became real fast in my life, in the brokenness at 1 a.m. in the bar. And I met him, I encountered him, and no one can ever take that away, ever tell me it doesn't exist. I know who I encountered, and his name is Jesus, and he has saved my life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's one of my answers.
Father. Oh, that's amazing. I thank you for sharing that story. Because that's also the second part, and we only have about 4 minutes left, but the second part of that maybe you can say, because I found so powerful, is that there you had decided that you're going to quit your job.
Yeah.
You walk in, you know you're going to leave this life. Yeah. You felt the physical presence of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, what happens?
So, like, when I went to quit?
Yes. That you then all of a sudden you were offered this, like, the bar one, what you had wanted. Yeah. At least that's what my research tells me.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I mean, like, I was super vain and prideful, and at the bar, you know, there are basically positions at the bar, right? You know, and when you're dealing with that type of industry, you know, you want your fastest bartender, your best looking bartender, you know, all that type of stuff, right? To be the first person that you see, because it kind of is the, you know, people walk in, here you go. And so, yeah, so I like wanted to be bar one. I wanted to, like, you know, in a prideful, vain way, I wanted to be the best bartender. And so I was bar three, and, you know, you make the most money at this particular bar one, all that type of stuff. They're kind of prestige, whatever, you know, and it's more internal prestige. It's not like, you know, people are like, you're bar one. It's like, nah, like, it's an interior thing. Like, I've accomplished this. I feel better about myself because I'm bar one, right?
Yes.
And yeah, like, I literally walked in. I was about to say, like, I quit. And my manager's like, hey, you're bar one this weekend. And I like, remember there was like this moment where I really felt like the evil one's like, here you go. Like,
yes, everything the enemy
you
knew.
Here you
yes.
go.
Yes.
If you just,
he's
write,
like, but hold on, very much, hold on.
Yeah. Well, it was very much like this temptation, right, in the desert with Jesus. Yes. He's like, hey, like, all this shall be yours if you just serve me, right? And and by the grace of God, I literally, and again, when I had that encounter with Jesus, so much in my life lost its flavor. So much of it lost this hold upon me because I encountered Christ, who was the way, the truth, and the life, who could fulfill and allow my heart to experience the fullness of joy and healing that I was looking for in the bar. Right. And so, yeah, in that moment, I was like, he goes, you're bar one. And I go, I quit. He was like, what? I was like, yeah, dude, I quit.
And, I'm done.
I was like, I quit. And I left, like, legit left.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, because what a witness to that the enemy will not give up, you know, and he left Jesus, like it says, right? He left Jesus for a while.
A time. for a time.
So, right? For a time. Yeah. So yeah. Then there you go. Well, Father Frankie, we have ran out of time, but your story again, from bartender to priest, to this light, this beacon of light and creative energy, all for the Lord. It's such a blessing to talk to you. Thank you for your time. If people want to follow you, then give us the actual handles and ways, because I also know that you do the Life Starts Here ministry. So tell us in your 40-second pitch, go.
Just the handles?
Yeah, where the people can find you.
Like Life Starts Here _fire is a lot of the handles for TikTok and for Instagram. And then also the YouTube channel as well, which I'm really starting to kind of slowly begin to use. And that's where I'm going to probably take probably the next like 2 to 3 months. I'm really going to start hitting content on YouTube. Okay. That's just like Father Frankie Cicero, just my name. But that's also where you're going to find more of my conversion story, all that type of stuff. But those are kind of the okay. three places for sure.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Father Frankie Cicero. Will you send us out with a blessing? We have about 20 seconds. And thank you once again. Send us out with a blessing.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, good Father, I love and I praise you. And I ask now that your presence be upon every single listener, everyone that views this. May your love penetrate their heart. May it begin to break areas of difficulty and doubt, that your presence may be upon them. They may know that you are real, that you love them, and that you will never leave them. And may your blessing be upon them now and always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I've been there.